Freak. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the 29th episode of Feel Good Friday. FGF, baby. We're back, and dare I say, we are better than ever. We have a very, very special guest on today. I'm super stoked that he agreed to be on. Honestly, I was stoked that he even responded to my message. And after a little bit of talking, I said, hey, I know it's a long shot, but I would love it if you'd be on my podcast. We could do it via Zoom, just like a 40-minute conversation. And he agreed to be on. He said, sure, why not? And that is just super awesome of him. And I appreciate it so much because I'm sure he's a busy man. I'm confident of that. And he just so happens to be one of my favorite comedians. So this is a huge, huge moment for me. And really happy, really in a good mood. I'm doing the intro now without him because I only have 40 minutes and I really want to make it count because, like I said, he's one of my favorite comedians and I have a lot of questions for him. So I want to try to get them all in. He is Kyle Kinane. And if you don't know about him, please check him out. You can find him in a lot of places. He does a lot of work for Comedy Central. He has a Comedy Central Presents special. He's been on Drunk History, At Midnight with Chris Hardwick, and he actually won that 7 times. He's also on Trip Tank, that animated series. So he's been on a lot of Comedy Central stuff. He's been on, talk shows like Last Call with Carson Daly, Live at Gotham, Conan, Jimmy Fallon, all that. Hella podcasts. And now he's on mine. He could add Feel Good Friday to the list. And depending on how you think of it, that's either top of the mountain or all the way back down at base camp. I would think of it as top of the mountain, but hey, I'm not everyone. So just really happy that he's on. Also, the list goes on and on with this guy, I'm telling you. He's got his own podcast, The Boogie Monster, which is fantastic because I knew about Kyle Kinane before I found out about The Boogie Monster. And then I found out about The Boogie Monster, and it's him and Dave Stone. Dave Stone is a very, very funny comedian as well. They mesh together very well. And they talk about a lot of the supernatural stuff, which is one of my favorite topics, as you know, if you're a listener of the show. So you combine Kyle Kinane with supernatural. It's supernatural stuff and then a lot of food, too, which is another favorite topic of mine. So it really is the perfect podcast for me, and yeah, he just so happens to be a co-host. It's really awesome that he's here, and I'm getting this opportunity. So I'm going to try not to blow it. Fingers crossed. It's going to be a good episode. I can feel it down in my plums. That's all I got right now. I just wanted to give you the rundown of what's going to be happening. It's going to be, like I said, about a 40-minute interview, and hopefully I don't pull a Chris Farley show and just ask him really dumb questions followed by really dumb responses. Like, did you see the new Top Gun? It was awesome. I'm going to try to avoid talking like that. I want to sound like I know what I'm doing, even though, hey, I really don't. Does anyone know what they're doing? Really? But I want to try to sound like that. So try to sound like a professional, which I don't know if I am, but I'm going to give him my best shot because, hey, what if I really impress him? What if he hears, what if we mesh really well? And then he invites me to join the Boogie Monster, me, Kyle, and Dave. Joe, Kyle, and Dave just talking about monsters. That'd be fucking awesome. Just saying. Or what if he's like, hey, you know what? You have a really great voice. I'm getting too old for this Comedy Central thing. Why don't you become the new voice of Comedy Central? It could happen. I don't think it will, but it could. I just saw the new Pinocchio trailer. I'm wishing upon a star. And instead of making a doll come to life, which I think would be more creepy than magical, I'm wishing that Kyle Kinane is, I'll be the Justin Bieber to his Usher. He's going to notice me and be like, this kid, he's got it. It's never too late. I wanted to ask him about that because I'm about to be 29 and I haven't done stand-up in a long, long time. I really want to ask him, hey, is 29 too late? Do I still have a chance? It's a lot of hard work, and it's going to be even harder because I have a son. You know, it's not easy to do stuff other than be a dad. I'm Mr. Momming it 4 days a week. I mean, probably five if you add up all the half days when I come home from work. But, you know, crazier things have happened. Stranger things have happened. Stranger Things is back. Maybe we'll talk about that. Not me and Kyle. Because that just seems way too, like, casual. To be like, can you watch Stranger Things? It's pretty good, right? I want to be formal. I want to try to be formal. I'm going to do my best. I'm straightening my tie right now. Dusting off my shoulders. Making sure my hair's in place. Although I'm probably going to wear a hat because I have to do it straight from work. And my hair's a wreck. So I don't know if I'll have time to shower. Oh, man. Maybe I'm overthinking this. I don't know. All I know is that I'm really stoked. I hope you are, too. And I hope this goes well. And thanks for tuning in to the 29th episode. We're almost at the 30. Hashtag Dirty 30. Hashtag Amber Turdy 30. She was found guilty. Love that. Love to see that. Good job. Go Team Depp. Team Johnny. Talked about it a few episodes ago. And now he's coming on top. So that's awesome. Okay, I'm going to stop now. Kyle Kinane coming right up. So excited. Oh, feel good Friday, baby. Episode 29. Whew, killing it. All right, everybody. Welcome back to Feel Good Friday. I am here with the great Kyle Kinane. Kyle Kinane, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
For sure, man.
All right.
Doing it.
Kyle, as a Chicago native yourself, I want to hit you with a couple questions real quick. Overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated?
Sure. I need to clarify. I'm from Addison, Illinois. I'm from DuPage County.
All right. Right.
Well, yeah. 100%. So I always feel like people are like, oh, what part of Chicago are you from? I'm like, I don't know, the part where the tornadoes start, I guess. So that's just full disclosure up front here.
Right. I gotcha. Yeah, no, I'm from Chicago Ridge, which is like 15 minutes from downtown. So I get that. I totally get that.
Yeah,
it's just, you know, it's hard to clarify.
It complicates conversation. You have to explain the greater Chicagoland area.
Right. All right, so some overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated, in your opinion. Just some of the classics. Chicago-style dog from Portillo's.
Love him, man. Been pretty much vegetarian for about, I don't know, but a few years now.
Right.
So they got garden dogs. So I'm like, I'll be trying that in a few weeks when I'm back there. But you know what? I know Portillo's is a chain, but I think there's shit on Portillo's. Not about dogs, but all the other crap that's on top of it. And I've also never heard anybody say, like, what's it like? Oh, I'd tell them to drag it through the garden. If you're like, nobody's ever said that. I've never heard a single person say that.
Yeah. I know I was
Have
in
you heard
a.
people say that? Have you heard people say that?
I have not heard people say that, no. That's a thing?
It was on some food show. Like, when you're in Chicago, be sure to tell them to drag it through the garden. Like, nobody said that.
I've never heard that.
You say, I want everything on. That's all you said. Like, right. Everything else, you want everything on. You say, I want everything on.
Yeah. We live right down the street from one. I have never heard that. Not once.
Yeah. Nobody's ever said that. Some food show was trying to push a term.
I lived in San Antonio for a bit, and there was no Portillo's even close. And my fiance actually shipped me a box of Portillo's, and that's how I knew she was the one. So
there you go.
Yeah.
After I had my appendix out, my buddy shipped me some Giordano's. No, it was Lou Malnati's. I think he sent me.
Okay.
Because you can send those frozen.
Right.
And he had. It's funny. He had Portillo's beef shipped to him. Back when, like, Hurricane Sandy hit New York, he was living in New York.
Yeah.
But he was actually stuck out. My buddy was stuck with me in L.A. because he couldn't get back to New York, and his brother had to call him. He's like, sorry, man, the power's out, and the stores are closed. I had to eat all the Portillo's. Like, that was his survival package, all the frozen meat from Portillo's. It's like I had to eat it, man. Power was out. It was going to go bad.
I was going to... Oh, yeah. I was thinking it was, yeah, survival. You got to... Got to have the Portillo's. That's pretty good survival food, though, if that's all you got left. I would absolutely appreciate that.
Yeah.
But you said Giordano's or Lumonati's. That leads me to the next question, deep dish versus tavern-style pizza. Because I know you're not a fan of the deep dish, right?
I just don't think it's... I think it's fine to have. Sometimes I miss it, too.
Yeah.
But it's never like, oh, I'm hungry, let's get pizza. It's never that. That's for visitors.
I got you. For sure.
Tavern style all day, baby. Tavern style.
Absolutely. We, like I said, Chicago Ridge, Oak Lawn area, Palermo's on 95th was my, that was my jam right there. So.
I wind up ordering late, so I wind up getting Sarpino's because they're the only place that's open like 5 in the morning. It's
right.
The time I got back. I'm back there, and it's like, all right, 2:30 or whichever bar we closed out. Well, Sarpino's is open.
Appreciate it.
I guess we'll get Sarpino's.
Yeah, yeah. On the topic of food, though, I know I found out about you from your Comedy Central Presents special, and then I was a fan immediately. And then I got so excited when I saw you on Hot Ones, because that's one of my favorite shows, and I see one of my favorite comedians on there. It's really awesome. The Hot Ones experience, like, is... Because, like I said, I've been a fan for a while. Is it as hot? Like, is there any acting in that, or is that just genuine reaction?
No, well, and I should say, I didn't know Hot Ones was, like, a popular show.
Yeah.
So I was like, you want to do this... And that's on me. That's not, like, I just don't know a lot of stuff. I'm not really plugged in. So it's like, you want to do a show where you eat hot sauce? But I guess we'll show up for that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I had like millions of subscribers. So I'm like,
yeah.
Whoops. It was, I mean, it was hot, but like, even the hottest one, I think on that one, I switched number 9 for number 10. That number 9 was hotter.
Yeah. But, yeah. I know Da Bomb is usually the one that people get. Like,
yeah, I have stuff at home that, you know, people send me stuff, which I don't need any more hot sauce. I'm appreciative, but please don't send me any more. I get yelled at from the missus. She's like, whole door and fridge is just hot sauce. And you can eat, half of these are inedible. I'm like, all right, well, I understand. But, I got stuff at home that's more like, it's basically, it goes from like a flavor into just a prank. Like, this isn't,
right. You're
not making your food any better.
Yeah.
I always laugh too at Hot Ones because of the time I stopped eating meat because of gout, and I've since just kept with, like, I'll break at you in there. But the number of people that freaked out because I was eating like the fake nuggets and the hot ones.
Yeah.
Like, is that what the show is about? I'm like, yeah, it's about the hot sauce. It's not about just different wings. It's about hot sauces. You could suck it off a napkin if you wanted to.
Right.
That's what the show's about.
You know.
But it's fine. It's funny how many bros got bent out of shape out of me not eating chicken wings. I had 2 dabs, the hottest sauce out there. How about a little credit for that? Bunch of bitches.
Yeah. I love watching it just to see, like, the people like the rapper Riff Raff. Like, when he broke character, that was one of my favorite Hot Ones moments, because, I don't know, it's just great. I love breaking character and all, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What does he do when he breaks character?
He just, like, because normal... Well,
Derek or something.
He starts talking normal. I'll just say, like, he usually talks with, like, this, like, kind of high-pitched southern accent, and then I think by wing 8 or 9... He starts wiping off sweat, and he gets really, like, low, and, I don't know, it's fun to watch. I love that stuff, so, I'm sorry, I'm trying not to, my fear, I was telling people, like, I was gonna, like, Chris Farley show this, and just ask you dumb questions, and be like, oh yeah, that's awesome. So I'm trying to, you know, keep it professional, I guess.
I wouldn't sweat it, man.
Yeah. So, even if I'm not listening to the Boogie Monster, which I do a lot because I love it, it's a combination of, like, a few of my favorite things. It's the supernatural, a lot of food talk, and then two great comedians, You combine all three. It's a great podcast. I hear your voice all the time because I listen to The Bonfire on Spotify, and you do the intro. You're the Comedy Central voice.
Oh, yeah. I guess I'm still alive in some worlds.
So how did that...
Comedy Central voice.
How did that come about? Did they come to you for that? Do you audition for that? Like, how did that gig happen?
Well, I mean, I think I just intro'd The Bonfire because it was part of Comedy Central. Okay. So there was similar, they were in that world, so that's the intro from back when I was working at Comedy Central.
Right, yeah.
But that was, it was just, I, one day, like, hey, do you want to come in and try doing this voiceover thing? I'm like, all right, sure. I go into a recording studio and do it.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, do you want to come back next week and do it again? I'm like, okay, sure. Like, does it pay? And I'm like, oh yeah, it pays. And I saw how much it paid. I'm like, are you fucking with me? Like, the amount of money versus effort.
Yeah.
It's probably the greatest job in the world. And I did it for about 10 years. And
right.
I was grateful for it all 10 of those years. And it went to David Borey as the new voice.
Okay.
From All Fantasy Everything. If you're a fan of that podcast, but it's one of the top ones up there for me. I had it for 10 years. It went away the same way it happened. All of a sudden, other comics were like, hey, do you do that voice for comedy? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, okay, because I just went in on audition for it. I'm like, oh, it'd be cool if they told me that I was not going to have the job anymore instead of just slowly phasing me out. I'm like, I'm a big boy. You could just tell me when we found somebody else.
Right. Oh, I had no idea they did you like that. That's,
Yeah, but that, I mean, I guess that's how the person that found out when I got the job found out. Of course, I think it was Penn Jillette. Penn and Teller was the guy doing the voice.
Oh, okay.
But I got it. I think he landed on his feet.
I think
the palace he performs in Las Vegas every weekend is probably
for sure
doing it pretty well.
Yeah. I guess another show I saw you on was Drunk History, one of my personal favorite shows. And then being from the Chicago area, that was one of my favorite episodes. That one too, like just like how I was asking, you know, for hot ones, is the sauce really that hot? Do you really get that drunk for that show? Like, that's all legit? Like, you're hammered?
Yeah, man. Yeah. We're fucking wrecked.
I quote you all the time, when you're just, let's be honest, let's be honest, let's be honest. I do that all the time, so.
Yeah, that first one, that show really deserves some behind the scenes or making of, because
yeah.
Some of the stories about people that have got just too drunk to
yeah.
even have like a workable episode. And I think I always like was on that line of being too drunk.
Yeah.
Because I was at home, like you sit at home and they're like, don't drink too much, we'll be over. And I'm like, shh, I'll be fine. And so I'm already shit faced when they show up. And then I'm drunk in my house, so I'm like, I'll wreck my own stuff, I don't care.
Right.
But I got pretty lit.
For sure. That was the same episode as Rich Fulcher, who had he was
Richie Fulcher.
By the end of it, you know, it was more sounds than words coming out of him.
Yeah, I remember that.
I guess on the topic of alcohol, you're in LA now, right? Well, not right now, but that's where you're...
I live in Oregon now.
I am so sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
Well...
I don't expect people to keep tabs on me.
when you're in Chicago, do you have any bars that you have to hit, like anything that's a must? Or
I mean, I've been gone, I moved in 2003.
Right.
And I don't, like, the stuff that I would go to, the regular spots,
yeah,
are not really there anymore. I'm trying to think of what spots, like, for comedy, the places that use, outside of the Lincoln Lodge, which is now in its new location, which is awesome. Fantastic location. I'll plug Lincoln Lodge till the day I die. The comedy would usually happen at Lion's Den on Mondays, but that's no longer Lion's Den. It was called The Globe. I don't know what it's called now.
Yeah.
I usually just, if bands are playing, I'll go see bands. But I like Club Foot was a spot that I would go to, and Club Foot's not around anymore. Usually wherever like the old punkers are hanging out, I kind of like, I don't know if people still go to Simon's or L&L, but also I don't know a lot of people that still live down there.
Yeah.
You know, I go to Ginger Man or G-Man when I drop in, because I do folks right. that work there. But I don't know if they work there anymore, so it's like, I just got a yard now. Come hang out in the yard. I'm like, yeah, I'll come hang out in the yard. I don't care. I don't go to bars anymore. Where do you go? What are the spots?
Well, we live in the suburbs currently. We still, my fiance and I live in the suburbs, Tinley Park. So, not too far away. We have a great spot right down the street called The Whistle. But my fiance does work at Lincoln Park Zoo.
Nice.
We met at Brookfield Zoo, and that we both work with animals. And then, she went on to Lincoln Park. She's a manager there.
This is a far more interesting story than anything I have to offer. You both work at zoos and met at the zoo? That's
yeah.
Great.
I was a tour guide. She was already a keeper. And then I applied for an internship. And, started going out. We actually started going out while I was in Texas.
Long distance?
Yeah, we had kept talking after the internship. I moved to Texas. I came back home to visit. We went on a date, and then I messaged her like a week later after I got back. I was like, hey, I haven't been talking to anyone else. I get it if you have, but if you haven't, want to give this a shot? And then she said, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's how modern relationships start. Like, I haven't been really fucking anybody else, so if you want to lock it down, maybe we should I'll go tie up some loose ends.
Right.
Do you have interesting animals as pets, given that you both work at the zoo, or do you not have any pets?
We got two dogs. We have a Mastiff and a Corgi Basset mix. And they're best friends. Then we got some fish down here in the basement. But no, nothing too crazy. Well, all the animals are...
No reptiles?
No. All the animals are at work. She already had, because they just had the lion cub at Lincoln Park Zoo. So, a lot of, all her, she has a lot to deal with there, too. So, back here, it's a couple dogs, and we're good. And then we also have we have a son, so that kind of takes up our time, too.
you gotta handle those things, too.
Yeah, 11 months old, so... He's, I was training dogs before we had him, and I had to stop because the company I worked for required board and trains, which means the dogs would be like, they would have to stay here for at least 2 weeks. And with two dogs already and a baby, it would just be too much. So, but it's all good. I mean, he's great. Anyway, he's napping right now, so he's great right now.
try and keep it quiet.
Oh, no, we're good. He's upstairs, done. Yeah. Fiance's home, too, so she's all good. I know I saw you on a brief appearance on Workaholics one episode, right? I know this is totally changing topics right now, but I wanted to ask. Did you get to hang with the crew? Because they have their
I mean, Adam, I knew Adam from stand-up. Adam like moved to LA. Where's he from? Like Kansas or Nebraska or something. He's a Midwest fella.
Yeah.
And I met him doing stand-up first. Like he was like the door guy at the Improv.
Right.
And I remember when they got that show. I remember being at a show and Adam. Like introduced me, he's like, "We just sold a show to Comedy Central, man. We'll have you on there one day." I'm like, "Oh, it's awesome! It's cool to see people that were just doing the same stand-up gigs as you actually get a show made, and then to not only see it get made, but to see how successful it was. It's kind of like, oh, it's nice to see good people, good things happen to good people." You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I know they have their podcast, This Is Important. So if there ever was a crossover, I think Boogie Monster, This Is Important would be an amazing crossover.
Man, I'm sick like a pest jump. Who is it? Who's got it?
It's all of them. It's all four of them.
Technically four of them.
All four of them.
Go check.
So at the moment, those are probably your podcast, and then This Is Important, probably my favorite too.
That's good company, thanks.
Oh yeah. I know. I'm sure you get asked all the time, like, do you have any advice for an aspiring stand-up comedian? I don't want to ask you that. I do want to ask, in your opinion, is 29 too late? Like, have I missed my window? Is there still hope for me?
There's no window. That's the best part about stand-up, is that if you have a unique story to tell,
yeah,
or have, it's filled with single, straight, white dudes with opinions, who think they know how the world works, and they're 22, and they don't.
Right.
I'm more interested in seeing somebody that has had a unique life tell me about their life.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody with a story. Like, there's no window. That's the great thing about stand-up. There's no window. There's never a window.
Okay.
If you have something to talk about, that you go to an open mic and you get to talk about
it. Yeah.
Now, getting to the next point of, like, if you're trying to pursue it as a career, that's a whole other thing. Like, trying to... People that start stand-up hoping for success are dooming themselves immediately.
Gotcha.
Like, you start stand-up because you love stand-up, and it's rewarding. Regardless of the success or lack of success, it's rewarding every night. Mm. Even when it sucks, I'm like, fuck, I learned something from bombing. I learned that it's embarrassing and it still hurts, even though I've been doing this for 23 years.
Yeah.
And I still bomb.
I was going to say, you still bomb?
Absolutely. Because I gotta keep trying new stuff, and I gotta keep seeing if, like, that's, I'm saying things I've said before, but it's like, it's a puzzle that you don't finish. It's a jigsaw puzzle where there's infinite pieces.
Yeah.
And that's what's great about it. It's never going to be done. Like, you don't, you just get to a point where, like, oh, I think the people that think they're done with comedy, like, this is my point of view and I'm sticking with it. All right, good luck. But I kind of like to grow as a human being and take in new information and other people's points of view. And sometimes it means I have to change my point of view. And that's what people... I like to see people learn as they grow. Not just learn to be a better stand-up, but learn about being like a human being. Like, oh shit, I used to say this kind of thing. I was wrong about that.
Right.
Or I had certain feelings this way, and I changed my mind about this now. That's more interesting to me than somebody's like, let me tell you what's wrong with the world. What do you know about the world? You've been famous since you were 20.
Yeah.
You only know the world as a famous person. Yeah. How are you gonna tell the average 30-year-old that's, plagued with student loan debt and all that stuff how the world should be for them?
Right. So
I don't know.
No, yeah.
I like comedy that asks more questions than offers up answers, I guess.
Okay, I gotcha. I was just watching the Carlin documentary on HBO Max.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And I watched that, and then I'm looking at, like, these comedians that are selling out arenas and all that, and
yeah.
I'm wondering if, like, a lot of their jokes would hit the same, like, if they were kind of not a no-name, but definitely lower tier, like, just working in a club or something like that, or is it they have their audience, and they're just going to laugh at whatever, like...
That's a great place to be in. I mean, yeah, I'm sure as shit. I'm struggling to get triple digits into this club in Charlotte this weekend, but
no.
I have a few opinions on that. A lot of times I'm cynical. I wish I wasn't, but I'm like, oh man, popular comedy and good comedy don't overlap too much these days.
Yeah.
But popular comedy, it's like top 40 music.
Okay.
You know, it's just accessible to a lot of people. Good, all right, that's great. But that, I don't particularly want to be that kind of comedian. And if somebody has their fan base and they can sell out arenas and they're traveling in tour buses and private jets,
yeah,
that's gonna be a that's a pretty hard place to go. You know what? I've changed my mind about some things, people. I'd like to talk about this because now your life's I don't know how they are with finances, but then you start basing your lifestyle around this expected income.
Right.
Now you're beholden, not to shareholders, but the ticket holders. Now you're beholden to the people that buy your product to make them leave happy and want to come back the next time.
Yeah.
And you don't. It's hard to want to challenge that.
For sure.
So.
I got you.
Fortunately, I'm not making that kind of money. I challenge the fuck out of these 35 people that come out to my show. I'm doing better than that, but definitely that's sold out of me.
What is your process for joke writing? Do you just have these stories that actually happen and then you add stuff to them, or is it just you're telling stories and you're great at it? Like,
that's what I was just trying to reconcile, that I don't want to be 45 and out like, man, the other night I got so drunk and this crazy stuff happened, because that just becomes sad if you're just an old guy telling those stories.
Yeah.
If you're a good enough storyteller, you can get a story out of anywhere. It doesn't have to be about, like, and then I ate 100 hot dogs. It could just be like, oh, I saw this guy at the store wearing a weird hat, and I wondered what made him buy that hat. Then you can make up a backstory about why a guy would buy a weird hat. I don't have to be the main character anymore, nor do I want to be. I think that's another thing I kind of want to see, is somebody that looks like me on stage talking about getting fucked up, because then that's just sad. I still like having my drinks and stuff, but it should be the centerpiece of my
thing.
But there's no process. It's like, all right, here's a story I remember from the past, and I'm going to try and tell it on stage. Like, I don't write jokes down. I write the idea. Here's the idea. I got to try it live. When I started comedy, I was very much a Mitch Hedberg disciple, and that's all in the writing. That's all in the construction of how the words are arranged in the sentence. So that's how I started. But you start comedy, you only have 4 minutes or 5 minutes. You want to fit as many jokes into 5 minutes as you can.
Right.
So.
Absolutely.
Now I wouldn't know how to do a 5 minute set to save my life. But 4.5 minutes in, I'm still like, so what you guys do today? Like, I'm still fucking around now.
Yeah.
I write short jokes.
You said you were a disciple of Mitch Hedberg. Is that what you right? I heard
when
that.
When I started, when I started.
Did you you ever get to see him live?
I did, yeah. I saw him at Zany's.
Oh, jealous of you for that one.
He
was one of the Mitch It All Together. When I first got into stand-up comedy, that album was a huge part of it. I know that much.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes. It was strategic relocations, and David Tell's Skanks from the Membranes were the ones we put in the CD in the car CD player behind the pizza place. Just sit out there in a hot box and laugh our ass off.
Yeah, I know. So, like I said, I listen to your podcast. This is important. I listen to a bunch of them, but I know a lot of the podcasters are. You know, you have people jumping on this podcast, you know, Two Bears, One Cave has a bunch of guest hosts and all that. Do you ever dabble into other podcasts, or you just stick with Boogie Monster? I know you've been a guest on a lot, but like...
Yeah, I've got one with Shane Torres that just started up called No Accounting for Taste.
Yeah, I saw that clip the other day.
Yeah, that's the other one. We're trying to do that with the video component and have that one look all slick and shiny and what have you.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'll be a guest, but I don't, I kind of look at podcasts, like they're just commercials for live dates as far as I'm concerned.
Fair enough.
I don't necessarily want to be a podcaster, just kind of like this necessary.
Yeah.
Requirement for for being a stand-up now. Not necessary, but, like, it's... I gotta tell people when I'm doing shows and all that kind of stuff. So, that's why.
It's a good plug,
I still like... Dave and I have been doing it for 6 years, I think. And it has turned into this show of, like, me and him just have our rhythm of sitting there and kicking it with each other and shooting the shit over what happened over the course of the past week.
Yeah.
And then Shane and I, so that one's more focused on trying to defend maligned subject matter that we all laugh at and make fun of. We're trying to celebrate. So that one's got a little bit more of a point to it.
Right. I gotcha. Yeah, I know. You and Dave, when you guys first started out, like, you would have a topic that you would say it in the intro and you were going to get to it and then, get sidetracked about the Whopperito or something like that. So,
The Whopperito.
The Whopperito. That was one of my first...
One of our rare field reports.
Yeah. That was one of my favorite episodes when I first started out listening to you guys. It's one that kind of got me hooked, I guess. I knew, I was like, this is great because it's... It is, you know, I don't know.
It's, we never really had a format, so.
Right.
That's why, without a format, you really start to stray.
Yeah. And then you said you have one with Shane Torres now. Are you starting?
Yeah.
You're starting one.
That one's going.
He has, I think this was kind of the bit that went viral when he was talking about Guy Fieri and Nickelback.
Yeah.
Do you agree with him on that stance? Like,
well, I do, because it was kind of, I think that bit turned the tides for a lot of people. Like, oh, we've been making fun of Guy Fieri because he's an easy thing to make fun of, but maybe we're the assholes. And Shane in the bit illustrates why we are the assholes.
Right.
The guy's done. He's like, he cooks for all these first responders. He officiates gay weddings. Like, he's nothing but a nice guy, but he looks like a dork and talks like an asshole, so we all make fun of him. And so that's kind of why our podcast is all about taking all those subjects that popular culture would make fun of, and we try to find a way to celebrate. And some of them have been difficult.
Yeah.
Trying to defend the Kardashians, not easy.
Oof. That's a difficult task right there.
They employ a lot of child labor, I guess. I don't know. Get those kids some jobs.
Did you rip on Kim Kardashian as much as most of America did when she had the quote saying, "Just get off your ass and fucking work," or whatever she said? Like,
I think even acknowledging, after just saying how we tried to do a podcast about them celebrating, there's some stuff that's even acknowledging it in a negative way still makes me aware of it. I'd rather just be like, I'm not. Like, it was such a feeling of success when I could, like, check out at the grocery store and not know a single person on one of the magazines on, like, Us Weekly or, like, oh, I don't know who any of these people are. I'm like, I think I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
I think my priorities are on track.
Living your best life.
Ideas. So there's a little sting when you like I have no idea what I'll see like a festival, like a mute, like a Lollapalooza, and
yeah.
I know two of those bands, and I feel that's where I feel a little bit old.
Yeah.
I feel pretty decrepit there. But that's what happens.
Yeah. I've had that, like I said, I'm 29, but I've had that feel, like, people on Facebook will post some fest that's happening wherever. And they're like, oh, this lineup looks great. And I honestly don't know any of it. I don't know any of it, so I think I've had that feeling before as well.
Well, and that's where, if not knowing any of it makes you go, it probably sucks, that's when you're doomed. If not knowing any of it makes you go, like, oh, I don't know any of this, maybe I should go check it out, then you're okay.
Yeah.
And I was so much more often the former, where I'd be like, I don't know any of these bands, so I don't even want to go. And I had to really be like, what? So you don't want to learn anything, dude.
Right.
You don't want, like, oh, I need to really change my outlook. Like,
yeah.
If I get pegged as, like, curmudgeonly or cynical, I'm like, well, I don't want to be that way. I'm shortchanging myself in life.
Yeah.
Like, I'm missing out on stuff, but I'd be like, ah, I've never heard of it, so it probably sucks. What a shit way to go through life.
Right. So we got the little time thing popped up. Five minutes and basically 5.5 minutes.
All right.
And went quick. And for me, at least. I don't know if it's dragging for you.
I'm just chilling.
So I want to just end with, you just said, you know, what a way to go through life, talking about all that. I know you said something similar when you were talking about people that just don't believe in ghosts, you know, kind of say like, no, it's not real, all that. I know the direct quote was like, oh, I'm sure you're a blast at parties. That was one of my favorite lines in your Hot Ones episode. I know you've been doing the podcast for, 5 or 6 years now. Has your opinion changed at all on the paranormal, the supernatural? Are you still, like, on the fence? Like, you don't dismiss it, but you don't fully believe?
It's the stories that have come forth as being evidence have made me, it's made it difficult to believe in it. I still believe in the possibility, but I have not seen any proof.
Okay.
I have not. I've had, my own experiences here and there that I can't explain, and I'm not going to jump to a ghost right away just because I can't explain it, but it scared me. So I like that. But Dave and I were out up in Northern California a few weeks back. We were camping, doing shows. And we got lost on this hike. It was supposed to be like 3 or 4 miles. We got lost. It was like 12 miles. And which is Northern California, and we're in the woods, and we didn't see anything, but the fact that it's so easy to be like, I'm on a hiking trail, it's all ferns and redwoods and everything. I'm like, if anything, if a person wanted to be like, I don't want to be found, that could be done. That could be easily done up there. So if you're going to say that a small sect of these humanoid, these cryptids, these bipedal, ape men, known as Sasquatch, can hide out in those woods. I'm like, I believe that they can hide. I don't know if they're real, but if they wanted to not be found, that is a place where a lot of things can disappear.
For sure.
So that that added to the mystery more than everybody with their shaky phone footage of like, see, there's Bigfoot, like, not a fucking chance.
Yeah, the paranormal stuff and even the aliens. I don't know. Footage is, it's whatever. It's always the Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster and the Mothman. It's always blurry, and it's always from so far away. So it's hard for me to believe in, I think it's called cryptology or something like that?
Yeah, cryptozoology. And with all the technology we have, how crisp these cameras are on our phones. But never the Bigfoot hunters. Always got a flip phone with 10% battery left.
Yeah.
Whenever, with all these trail cams that you could put out, all these ring cameras you can put on the door of your house, but you can't throw one of those up on a redwood and catch old Bigfoot out there.
Yeah. One more thing. I know we got a little over 2 minutes left. I feel bad because I can't remember exactly how the bit went, but it was the one that I heard it and I was like, this, like, I related to it, I guess. It was one of the ones that hooked me. You were talking about, I believe it was a former girlfriend of yours, and she called you sexy one day. And then you just straight up kind of denied it. Like, you were like, I know what I, like, it was something along those lines.
That's for my, I think, first album, but she sounded like a Greek god.
Greek god, that's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just remember hearing that because my fiance will say similar things, and I'll just kind of be like, am I, though? Like, it was one of the ones that felt it.
I realized it was less of, it was less about my physical stature and more about just having a beard. I think that's the Greek god part of it. It's not the muscles. It's the beard. They love it on head beard. That's what it was.
Yeah. All right, well, a little over a minute, so I'm just going to go ahead and wrap it up. Thank you so much for doing this, Kyle. I really do appreciate it. I'm a huge fan. Have been for a while. Going to be for a while, most likely. I don't see anything changing that.
I'm gonna say some real hateful shit.
So. I was gonna say something drops like that, but I don't see that happening because you're one of the coolest guys out there, one of the funniest. Do you have anything that you wanted to plug real quick?
The shows Boogie Monster and No Accounting for Taste are two podcasts, and then I just got all my live dates up on my website. Probably have a new special coming out in the fall. I just recorded that a few weeks ago, so
for sure.
See, you know, just plugging, man. I'm just out there doing it.
Awesome.
I'll be back. I'm at Chop Shop in a few weeks.
Okay.
I'm opening for Apocalypse Hoboken and Off With Their Head. It's okay. The band, so.
Awesome.
I don't know how that's going to go, but.
It's going to be crazy, yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
All right. Well, thank you so much again. I appreciate it. And just. Yeah. Oh. Shoot. I didn't even get to say, like, it. Oh, fuck. It just shut down on me. Okay, well, there's that. Well, that was Kyle Kinane, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that. I wish it was a more graceful ending. More professional, I guess, but it is what it is. Got to talk to him for a solid 39-ish minutes. Such a cool guy. Hope you enjoyed the interview. I know I did. That went by so fucking fast. Damn it. Sorry if I sounded nervous, by the way. I'm still working on the interviews of the people I don't really know, the people I don't hang out with all the time, although I would love to hang out with Kyle. He's just such a cool guy. And, yeah. Possibly going to wrap it up in one more section. If not, hope you enjoyed, and I'll see y'all next weekend. Awesome. All right, everybody, we're wrapping it up. Kyle actually messaged me. I'm calling him Kyle, like I know him. Kyle actually messaged me after the Zoom call ended so abruptly. And he was like, "Oh, damn it, I forgot Zoom kicks you off after 40 minutes. And I was like, "Yeah, I just haven't upgraded to Pro because I'm, what's the word, poor? Yeah, okay. But he was really cool about it. He understood. And I even listened back to the podcast, and I messaged him after that, and I was like, "So I just listened back to it, and gotta say, I think I'm kind of blew it." I told him my goal was to not Chris Farley show it. And I even said that during the interview, and then I felt like that's kind of what I did, and then I got a lot of questions wrong, or a lot of things wrong. Like the first thing I do is I immediately bring up fucking Portillo's Chicago style dog. Asking him if it's overrated or underrated or perfectly rated. And he's been a vegetarian for 4 years. And the thing is, I knew that. And I was just like, I don't know, like, the Chicago bond. I got to ask him about Chicago stuff. And then I brought up the food. And unfortunately, a lot of the food in Chicago is not for vegetarians. But, you know, the Harold's fried chicken, Al's beef, you know, the list goes on. But anyway, he was super cool about it. And then I asked him, you know, I was like, you're in L.A., right? And he was like, "I've been in Oregon." And I'm like, "Ah, fuck." So, couple screw-ups there. Even that last part when I brought up the bit about how his girlfriend called him a Greek god. You know, I used the word sexy. I don't know, I was nervous. It is one of my favorite comedians, so I hope you were able to bear with me. That was a lot of fun, though. It was a really cool experience. When he popped up on the Zoom, I was like, "Holy shit, it's actually happening. It's not some fucking fake account or something." And I was really stoked. And he's a really good guy for doing it. So I appreciate that a whole bunch. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope I didn't sound too awful. And hope the quality was all right. I'm going to head out of here, though. It's been a blast. People, it's been a slice. I'll be back next week. Might be doing a solo show. Might have someone on. Who knows? We got my fiance's brother's son's birthday party on Saturday. Maybe I could, you know, talk to some people there and see if they want to record a little bit. I don't know. Probably not, but whatever.
I got a lot of stuff to talk about, even if I do a solo show. I haven't done a solo show in a while, so maybe I will. Gotta talk about Stranger Things. And I've been pondering recently about donuts and where they come from, so I would love to delve into that. That's how my mind works. All right. People, thank you for tuning in. Thank you to Kyle Kinane. Great interview. Well, he was great. I was subpar at best. And then thank you to me for creating this podcast. It's really amazing. All right, I'm out of here. Feel Good Friday, Kyle Kinane. Whew. Damn, that's some dream come true shit right there. Love it. All right, y'all. I'll see you next week. Stay sexy.